North Hendon Colwell, shiur given on Sunday, 19th of June, 2011, Yud Zayin Sivan Toshin Ayin Aleph, and the shiur has been given by Gershon Heppner, and we're on Tehillim chapter 18, and we're up to Pasuk Gimel. Let's have a look at the Pasuk. Hashem, Sali Umetzudasi Umefalti. Hashem is, Sali is my rock, Umetzudasi and my fortress, Umefalti and my rescuer, Keli, he's my God. Tzuri, my rock. Echesebo, I will take refuge in him. Mogini, my shield. Vekeren Yishi, and the horn of my salvation. Misgabi, my stronghold. I've taken all these translations from the Arts of God on Tehillim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described here by a number of different things, all to do with strength, power. He looks after me, he's my rock, he's my fortress, he rescues me, I take refuge in him, and so on. Okay, so this is David HaMelech's description, and as you can see, you've got the pasuk there in front of you from Shmuel Beis. So if we do a quick comparison there between our pasuk and the pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Hold on, I'm looking for my nach. It's gone. Never mind. Okay, we'll use this one. Here it is. You can see the very, just to do a quick comparison there, if you compare it with the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis, where we have very similar pasukim here in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, where their pasuk Beis reads, Vayomar, he said, Hashem Sali Umetzudasi, God is my rock, Umetzudasi, and my fortress, Umefalti Li, and my rescuer. Elokei Tzuri, the God of my rock, Echesebo, I will take refuge in him, Mogini, my shield, Vekeren Yishi, and the horn of my salvation, Misgabi is my, Misgabi is my stronghold, or my high place, my exalted place, Umanusi, and the place where I can run for refuge, Moshii, my saviour, Mechamos Toshieni, you will save me from Chamos. Thank you, from Vanas. Yeah, from Vanas. So you can see the pasuk is almost the same. The pasuk there in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Gimel, is almost chapter Kaf Beis is almost the same as our pasuk with a few differences. In this session, we'll get to discuss some of those differences. Okay, so on our pasuk, Rashi explains Hashem Sali, God is my rock. What does it mean, Hashem is my rock? It refers to a particular occasion in Tanakh. It refers to an occasion when David's whereabouts were given away to Shaul. There was a group of people called the Ziphim. They lived in a place which I think was called Ziph, and David was hiding there. These Ziphim, strangely enough, were Yidden. They came from the tribe of Yehudah, which makes it even more surprising, because that was David's own tribe, and they revealed David's whereabouts to Shaul. And Shaul got his army together, and he's going to try and capture David. Now you'll find this is recorded in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kaf Gimel. Here we are.
They had good intentions.
Nope, they had terrible intentions. Shmuel Aleph, no, they were trying to get David bumped off. It is a bit odd. You'll find this is all recorded in Shmuel Aleph, and it's towards the end of chapter Kaf Gimel in Shmuel Aleph. Now, the Ziphim, these people from Ziph, they went up to Shaul and they told him, "Hello, David, mistater imonu, David is hiding with us." And that's in Shmuel. What you've got there is the Shiras David in Shmuel Beis. Yes, which is actually just a few chapters before this one. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. No, that's wrong. Sorry. Try them again. I've left the psukim there open for you on Shmuel Beis chapter Kaf Beis. For the Shira, what I'm quoting from now is from Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kaf Gimel, the end of chapter Kaf Gimel. So the Ziphim came along to Shaul and they gave away David's whereabouts to Shaul. Pardon? Why? I don't know. Maybe they had some vested interest in siding with Shaul. I don't know. It is odd, because after all they came from the tribe of Yehuda, God was their own tribe. It's very, very, very strange that they would spill the beans on David. Oh, so, and David went off to hide, and he hid it some.
They were from the tribe of Yehuda. Maybe they felt that they should. That the king should come from them, which he should have done from Yehuda.
Well, God had already been anointed by Shmuel, but so it's very strange that they.
It's strange.
Yeah.
David was from the tribe of Yehuda.
Absolutely, David came from the tribe of Yehuda. Yes, absolutely. So it is strange.
Somebody else from the tribe of Yehuda should.
I don't know. I don't know what their cheshbon was. I don't know what the cheshbon was. At any rate, David hid there, and Shaul got his army together, and he went in hot pursuit of David. And he approached the area where David was, and David was hiding in a rock, Vayirat Hasela. Vayirat Hasela. Okay. Yes, David is hiding there in this rock. And there in Shmuel Aleph chapter Kaf Gimel Pasuk Kaf Vav it says Rishol Vanoshov Ochim El David, they surrounded David in order to take him captive, to capture him. And just at that moment a messenger came along to Shaul and said, quick, gotta go, I haven't got time to hang around here, the Plishtim are attacking the country. So leave David and go and fight against the Plishtim, because the national security is at stake. And Shaul left David. David therefore was able to get away, and he went back to fight against the Plishtim. And the very last passage of that chapter. Oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And the last passage of that chapter, Shmuel Aleph Kaf Gimel, chapter Kaf Gimel, right at the end, the last passage there says, Al came therefore. No, it says again, by Yoshua Shaul Mirudof Achari David, and Shaul returned from chasing David. He left David, by Yelech Ribkas Plishtim, he went to meet the Plishtim. Al came therefore, Koruna Mokamazu, they call that place Sela Hamachlakos. And the key word is Sela, because our pasuk describes Hashem Sali, God is my rock. So that rock where David was hiding became known as Sela Hamachlakos. And what is the idea behind Sela Machlokes? Rashi brings it, and it's brought in detail in the Medrash Shechetov. Why was it called Sela Machlokes? Pardon? Medrash Shechetov, which is the Medrash on Tehillim. Oh. It's a Medrash specifically on Tehillim. Yeah. And this is it. Okay? Medrash Shechetov on Tehillim. So he brings here on the Medrash Shechetov, why is this rock where David had been hiding? Why was it called Sela Hamachlekos? The rock of splitting.
Argument.
Why was it called Sela Hamachlekos? So he brings a number of different explanations here. So he says that, let's go through the whole story again in a bit more detail. When David knew that Shaul was in hot pursuit, David turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and almost challenged, a very strange thing, he challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, did Shmuel anoint me for nothing? Shmuel anointed me as king. Now Shaul's going to capture me. David felt absolutely trapped. Shaul's going to capture me. That'll be the end of me. So what about Shmuel's whole nevuah that I would become the king? What happened to that nevuah? That nevuah just dissipates into nothingness. He anointed me. How come?
He was running the country.
He was not running the country.
Who?
Shaul.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shaul. Because Shaul, he was deposed, but he never accepted the fact that he was demoted from being king. He never accepted that. He was suffering from depression. He never accepted from Shmuel, even though Shmuel told him that he should not be the king anymore and that David should. His own son-in-law, he did not accept it, and therefore he viewed David as a usurper, which is why he was trying to kill him, because he felt he's a Moed B'Malchus, he's rebelling against me, I'm the king, and he's not the king, I'm the king, and he's rebelling against me, he's Chayv Misa. That's why Shaul made various attempts on David's life. Was David running the country? Hardly. He was on the run. He was in the desert.
Saul can run a country, aren't they? Because he's so obsessed by capturing David.
You can run a country and still be obsessed by your own
family. He'd been doing it before Shmuel told him you're deposed. He'd been running, hadn't he, Saul?
Oh, gosh. He'd been running the country. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
He wasn't alone, he wasn't by himself, he had people. An important person always accompanied by two people.
Yeah.
But he must have a group with him, he had followers.
He had 400 soldiers, I think. Or maybe it was 600. 400 or 600. Yeah, it's actually brought here, I can't remember.
He wasn't hiding in a rock by himself, he was a group of people and he was surrounded.
Yeah, absolutely. He had his men with him. Just a second, let's see how many men he had. I think he either had 400 or 600, and I can't remember. Okay, no matter. We'll leave that for now. Okay, so David challenged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What about Shmuel's Nevuah, that I would be the king? And he challenged it. He said, it's as though Shmuel was lying. And the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Kuftez Zayin, Pasuk Yudalef, which we say in Hallel, Ani Amarti V'chovzi, I said in my haste, Kol Ha'odom Kozev, that every man is a liar, that Pasuk is a reference to Shmuel. That David was saying, I believe, as far as I can tell, Shmuel was telling a lie, that I would be the king. I'm not going to become the king, I'm going to be killed by Shaul. So he challenged it, says, Kol Adam, Ani Amarti V'chovzi, I said in my haste, Kol Adam Kozev. What is this idea in my haste? Because in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kaf Gimel, our chapter, in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kaf Gimel, when Shaul was chasing David, there in Pasuk Kaf Vov, the Pasuk says, Vayhi David, Nech Poz Lo Leches Mipnei Shaul. David was hurrying to get away from before Shaul. Nech Poz is the same root as Ani Amarti V'chovzi, I said in my haste. So on that occasion when David was running away from Shaul and he felt he would be finished, that is when he said, I suspect Shmuel was telling a lie when he anointed me as king. And he said, therefore, and the Pasuk in Tehillim refers to that. I said in my haste, Kol Adam Kozev. And he challenged me. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's going on here? That Shmuel anointed me as king. It's not going to happen. It's just, I'm never going to become king properly. Whereupon David replied, no. Whereupon HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied to David, no. Are you saying that Shmuel is a liar? Not true. Shmuel is not a liar. The Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kaf Gimel, let's get this. No, sorry. Shmuel Aleph, chapter Gimel, Pasuk Kaf. The Pasuk there says, Vayeda Kol Yisrael, Midon Vad Be'Shelva, everybody in Klal Yisrael, from Don, which is in the north, right until Be'Sheva in the south, everybody knew, Ki Ne'emon Shmuel Lenovi Lashem, that Shmuel was a trusted prophet to God. Hashem replied to David, don't worry, you've been anointed by Shmuel, he's a genuine Novi, and we've got this Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Gimel Pasuk Kaf, which declares Shmuel to be a true Novi. So with that, David was somehow mollified, that Shmuel was telling the truth, and he would become king, he would eventually become the full king, but he couldn't quite understand how it was going to happen. Then, the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kaf Gimel tells us that a malach came. Malach meaning a messenger. A messenger came, and that is in Pasuk 27 there. Pasuk Kaf Zayin. A malach ba, a messenger came, El Shaul Lema to Shaul, saying, Mahara, hurry up, Velecha and go, Ki Foshtu Philistim Malach, because the Philistim have invaded the land. So who is this Malach? So you're asking, Johnny, about whether it's divine intervention? Machlokes. Well, for sure it's divine intervention. Rebbe says, that Malach was a Malach as in the sense of an angel. A real Malach. In the guise of a human being. Rav Yudam says, no, he was a Shleach. obviously divinely ordained, but he was a human being. They really were, yes, the Philistines were attacking. But who was this Malach? Machlokes, Rebbe says he was an angel, Rebbe Yudin says he was a human being, and Rebbe Pinchas told Shaul that the Philistines were attacking. And I'm juggling with all these names, I must not get mixed up. Yeah. Rebbe Pinchas challenged Rebbe Yudin. Rebbe Yudin says he was a human being who came as this messenger. Rav Pinchas said to Rav Yudon, how can he say he's a human being? This messenger, whoever he was, he comes along and he says to Shaul, Mahara Velecha, hurry up and go. Now that is not a way to talk to a king. Right? Yeah, you might come along, I've got news for you, the Pelishtim are invading, but it's the king's political decision what to do about it. But this Malach comes along, and he says, he's not just giving an item of news, he's now suddenly giving political advice, and military advice. Hurry up and go, the Pelishtim are attacking, you can't stay here. So with that, Rav Pinchas said, you see, that's a proof for Rebbe that it really was a Malach, an angel, and not a messenger, not a human messenger. At any rate, the story goes that Shaul left Dovid and went to deal with the Plishtim. But it wasn't without a struggle, because within Shaul's army there was a major split of opinion. Many of Shaul's soldiers said, well, we've almost got Dovid. He's your arch enemy. We've almost got him. Let's catch him now and then we'll go for the Plishtim. And others said, no, how can you risk national security by capturing one man, Dovid, while the Plishtim are invading the whole country? Leave Dovid here, we'll get him later, and go back to deal with the Plishtim. Al Kain Korula Mokamahu Sala Hamachlikos, they call that place the Rock Hamachlikos of Machlokes, because Shaul's army was split as to what to do, what was the best decision. Well, Shaul took the decision to go and fight against the Plishtim, national security being of greater importance, and we'll catch Dovid at a later time. So according to Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, that is why the rock was called Sela HaMachlokos. According to Rabbi Elazar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a different nes for Dovid. The rock where Dovid was hiding split. And therefore, Shaul's army was on one side of the rock, and Dovid was on the other side of the rock, and he couldn't get to him, and Shaul could not get to Dovid. And that's why, Al Kain Korula Mokamahu, Sela HaMachlokos. Machlokos is to split. The rock split. And that's.
So it's not to do with the Plishtim.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, the reason why they called the rock Sela HaMachlokos is not necessarily. Well, it's a Machlokos in the Medrash why it was called Sela HaMachlokos. Now, Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says it's because the soldiers of Shaul were split as to what to do best. And Rabbi Lotta says it's because the rock itself split, thereby saving.
How did the rock split?
Dovid. How did the rock split? I know, I was trying to picture it as well. It seems that Dovid was on one side, Shaul was on the other, and the split made the rock impassable.
A chasm,
something like that. Yeah, could be. Do you know what I did? I was trying to picture it. Do you know what I did? I took a Shmuel Aleph, the little Medrash says. Yeah? Where this Medrash is brought there as well. Yeah? I suspected it would be a nice colourful medrash, great for children, yeah? Yeah? And I was hoping there'd be a picture. And there wasn't. Yeah? So you can learn from the little medrash says it's for adults as well. It's possible, yeah, it's possible. I was really hoping for a picture, because I was trying to picture how did the rock splitting help. At any rate, Salah Machlokos, the rock split, that's the opinion of Rabbi Lotta.
The rock split. A mace.
Definitely an ace. Absolutely an ace. To protect Dovid. Absolutely right.
Dovid from Shaul.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Spot on right. Yes. Yeah, spot. Yeah. Absolutely. But that is why it was called Sela HaMachlokos. Machlokos, the rock split. Absolutely. Yeah. The rock split.
Let's also bear in mind that these are 400 men.
Yeah.
Isn't the rock just splitting so one person is hidden?
Yeah.
There's a whole group of 400.
With Dovid.
Yeah. A huge army of Shaul. And 400 men of Dovid. It's not just one person.
Yeah. When they call rock, they mean a huge bit of land. Huge, must
be. Yeah. I've just checked in this measure, 600 men.
Sorry?
It was 600 men, I've just checked. Someone had 600 men, I couldn't remember. Yeah, 600. Aesop had, I think, 400. Okay. Yeah.
More like a hillside. More like a hillside rather than a rock.
Oh, yeah.
The prophet calls it a rock.
Maybe the rock was here, and Aaron was side facing Shaul's men, and then the rock splits. They were able to escape behind it.
Could be. I don't know. I was trying to picture. I don't know. At any rate, when the rock split, the Medrash goes on to say that when the rock split, David reacted by singing the chapter in Tehillim, Kuf Mem Dalet. Yeah, Tehillim Kuf Mem Dalet, which we all know, because we are meant to sing it on Mitzvah Shabbos, but in practice, only a few people do. I get that in. Kuf Mem Dalet. No. Kuf Mem Dalet. Hamalamid. Ledovid Baruch Hashem Tzuri Hamalamid Yadalak Rov, which is similar to Shabbos here. In Tehillim Kuf Mem Dalet Pasuk Yud, the Pasuk says Hanusin Teshua Lamalochim. David praises Hashem who gives salvation to kings, plural. Hapotzeis David Avdo, who released David his servant Mecherev Ra from an evil sword. What does it mean? Says David, I give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was rescued on that occasion, I was saved from being killed by Shaul, and Shaul was also saved. That's Hanusin Teshua Lamalochim, who gives salvation to kings, plural. I'm one of them, Shaul's the other one. My life was saved, and Shaul was saved from the Aveira of killing me. Yeah? So, and that was all down to this rock splitting. And say, well, he went back and he had to fight against the
Plishtim. Otherwise, the Plishtim were over in the country.
Correct. But that's not. But the reference is David's own personal salvation.
It's salvation.
Yeah.
Which David had this for sure.
Yeah. The Medrash Shochetov goes on to give a third explanation as to why this rock was called Selah HaMachlekos. Why was it called that? Because later on in history, whenever David passed by that place, he, together with any of the men who had been there with him at that time, split away from their group in order to go to that rock and make a bracha. Bracha Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam she'asa lanu neis b'makom hazeh. He did a neis for us in this place with the rock splitting. And that's a third reason given in the Medrash why the rock was called Selah HaMachlekos. Machlekos is to split away. Because David and the men who had been with him on that occasion would split themselves away from the rest of their group. He said, hang on, we'll be back in an hour or two. We're just going over to that rock. We need to make a bracha. So that's another reason why that rock was called Selah HaMachlekos.
The 600 who always go to the rock.
Yeah. Whoever of those 600 were with him on a later occasion, we're going to make a bracha on that rock because they have to thank Hashem for the nace. Oh. So that's why it's called Selah HaMachlekos. Now, back to our pasuk. What are we learning? Oh yeah, Tehillim. So back to our pasuk where Hashem is described. Hashem Sali, Hashem is my rock. It all goes back to that. It's a reference to that occasion where David was saved from Shaul at that place of the rock. How is he saved? Either because Shaul left the captured David to go and fight against the Plishtim, or because the rock split, whichever one it was. But the fact is that David was saved, and that's Hashem Sali, Hashem is my rock. Good. Okay, that's Rashi brings that, and it's brought at length in the Medrash Shochetov. Okay. Oh, okay, so we have an interesting thing in our pasuk. Hashem Sali Umutsudosi is my fortress, Umafalti and my rescuer, Keli my God, Suri my rock, Echesabar, I take refuge in him. Rashi explains that what's the idea of these rocks? The rocks are places of refuge. He says if someone is out in the wilds of the countryside and needs to take refuge either because of adverse weather conditions or something like that, so they can take refuge in a rock, Sela, Suri. He actually quotes a pasuk in Eov to describe that, but we don't need to go into that. Okay.
Especially, he's my rock.
My rock, yeah. A rock. A rock also.
Means I can depend on him.
Yes, absolutely. Hatsur Tomim Polo. Yeah, you're both Hazinu men. Hatsur Tomim Polo, right? Exactly, right? So, Hashem is described as a rock. It's an expression of strength as well.
This isn't a cave.
No, I was wondering that. It seems not. Although some of the Mepharshim do describe it as a cave, a place of refuge. Yeah. Some describe it like that. Yeah.
The rock is a cave carved in the rock, and you can attribute the refuge to the rock, because the cave was in the rock. It's a hollow within the rock.
There's a story with a spider with the front of the cave.
Yeah. Some of this, yeah.
Different incident, that is, yeah.
Different instance, yes. Okay, there's an interesting targum on this pasuk, where the targum just puts a few words here and there which give a different life from the pasuk. Hashem tukvi, Hashem is my strength, that's like sali, veruchtsoni, and the one on whom I depend, umeshaziv yossi, and he saves me, eloko, the God, the Israel B, I think that means who has befriended me, but I'm not sure. I meant to look that up. I'm sorry, I forgot to look that up. Karvani l'dechalte, he has brought me close to his fear. Dechalte is Yerushalayim. Teresi, my shield, that's the translation of Mogini. Demin kodomoi, because before me is Yahavli Sekof, he has given to me strength, or furkon, and salvation, al ba'alei devavi, over my enemies, rachtsoni, he is the one on whom I depend. So the Targum just fills in a few interesting points there, especially the bit about Hashem has given me Yirah Shemaim. That's the Targum puts that in there. Hashem has granted me Yirah Shemaim. Okay, that's a bit on the Targum there. Okay, the Metzudas Tzion defines these places. Metzudah, he says, is like a very strong tower, a high tower. And I saw in the Yalkut Me'amuris, he explains that a high tower could be used for two things. High towers were typically built, A, for defense, we can hide in a high tower, and B, for aggression. Because, and there are cases of enemies building high towers outside a city, and a wooden structure, maybe even a rock structure, not just to keep watch, but in order to launch missiles at an enemy. Typically, let's say you've got an enemy within a walled city, in a fortified city, they're protecting themselves in this wall, so how are you going to get in? So one way is to build a tower outside the city that's higher than the city walls, and from the top of the tower you chuck your bombs in. And that was done, and that's been the incidents of that kind recorded in Tanakh as well.
The fact is this, when the Nebuchadnezzar approached the Yerushalayim, there was a huge horde of people, and these towers, these wooden towers. I've seen an illustration, an ancient illustration of these towers, and they were huge, and they were made of wood, and they were portable. They were made with wheels, and they were wheeled up to the city walls. And
height. Height is military strength, isn't it? Height. Yeah.
This is a
CSD
stuff
you make for Hendon. The idea of Keren Yishi. Well, one other thing that's brought by the Mitzvah Sion is that we've got the word Sali, my rock, and we also have Tsuri, which also means my rock. And I have not found any sefer that differentiates between them. It could be that the Malbim dealt with it and I didn't understand it. I looked at the Malbim, there's a lot of Malbim on the spot that I really didn't understand. But typically, the Mitzvah Sion says Sali and Suri both mean the same thing, and it's like a poetical thing. Rock, exactly. Yeah, the art scroll gives the same, also both rock twice. So it's a certain repetition there, poetic repetition. And typically the Malbim would differentiate, but he doesn't.
I think it's Tanai, it's a smaller thing. I think Suri is a large thing. That's
it could be, but that story about David is talks about a Sela. You know, where he was on a rock. Now, with 600 men on a rock, it can't be small. So, I don't know.
People normally have a question about how the split occurred. If it were there in a cave, and if there were an avalanche, and the entrance to the cave was sealed off, that would seal them off from the Plishtim, and they could find a way out, or caves tend to go in all the directions. That might have been it. So it could be a cave.
Could be... Yeah, you need a proof. You need to find a proof in the Medrash. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. This expression, Vekeren Yishi, Mogini, my shield, Vekeren Yishi, and the horn of my salvation. So the Mitzvah Tzion and many other Svarim explain how the word for the horn, the idea of a horn, is a simon of aggression. It's an expression of aggression, because Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu has helped me in battle to fight wars as well. So that's the Keren. And that goes hand in hand with what we learned earlier about Mitzudosi, how the Yalkut Me'amos explains that the Mitzudah is a high tower which can serve two purposes, either for defense or for aggression. Okay. The Radak points out a very interesting thing. Now, before we come to the Radak, I'll just say there's something from the Mossad Rav Kook edition. He points out that every one of these words is a noun. Hashem is described as Sali, my rock, noun. Umisadosi, my fortress, is a noun. Keli, my God, is a noun. Tsuri, my rock, is a noun. Echsev, I'll take refuge in him. Mogini, my shield, is a noun. Vekerenishi, the horn of my salvation, is a noun. Miskabi is my stronghold, is a noun. Is a noun. Is a noun. The only one which is not a noun is the word umafalti. Because mafalti is a verb. It's actually short for umafalet OC, and he rescues me. And those two words get contracted into one. Umafalti. Like mechabdi is someone who honors me. So it's actually a verb. Umafalti. And the art scroll here is very precise. Translates it not as my rescue, which would be a noun, but as my rescuer, which is a verb.
Deliverer,
same thing. Very good. So they've taken care in that translation, right? Yeah. So it's actually a verb. So this word mafalti stands out from around the rest. Now maybe that is what drove the Radak to say that it's all very nice describing our Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sali, my rock, and Sadosi, my fortress, and these things are great military assets, but they won't always necessarily work. And David is saying, Hashem is my rock, and he's my fortress, but at the end of the day, it's all down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Umafalti. I can't put my trust in the rock and in the fortress, I put my trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and should the rock and the fortress fail, Hashem will succeed and he'll rescue me anyway. Well, he rescues me anyway. That is brought by the Radak. That the Sali and the Mitzvadosi are not the last resort. Hashem is the last resort, and he is the Umafalti. He is the one who rescues me. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, you could think it's the rock that saves me, the fortress saves me. No, it's Hashem.
Yeah, it's all down to Hashem. And in fact, what you're saying, Johnny, is elaborated on as well in the Yalkut Me'amloes. Yalkut Me'amloes goes at great lengths to say that ultimately what David did was he recognized his rock and his fortress and his shield and the horn of his salvation. He saw in all of those things Hashem. It's all down to Hashem. That's how this pasuk starts. Hashem, you are the one. You're the one who's my rock and my shield and everything else. He saw in his military weapons arsenal. Thank you. He saw in his military arsenal. He saw Hashem in all of that. Yeah. Good. Okay. I've got a note here that Ibn Ezra also points out about height. If a person is if in war, if a person has height, then he's also automatically got some military supremacy.
Well, shouldn't say that.
He didn't, exactly, and David did not fall into that trap. No, absolutely, yeah.
And it was Yud, because he emphasized the oneness. Because Yud is Hashem. So it's all kind of Yud, whether it's a verb or whether it's a noun, it's always Yud.
I haven't seen that, but yeah, it could be. Could be the Yud representing Hashem's name. Yeah? Oh, very nice shot. That's very nice shot. Yeah. Good. Okay. 2, 3, this we've done. We would all benefit from it, no doubt. Okay, let's go back to the Medrash Shulchan Tov. Oh, the Medrash Shulchan Tov, and it's also brought in the Yalkut HaMochiri, which is another set of Medrashim, collection of Medrashim on Tehillim. And Mrs. Cooper, very sweetly, after Rabbi Cooper was nifter, Mrs. Cooper asked me to come and choose.
Like you told us before.
Then. Yeah, yeah. She asked me. She said, "Please come and choose a few sperm from the library." She was trying to whittle down the library, and I think it was on Tehillim, so I took this one. The Yalkut HaMechiri, and the Medrash HaChatzos both say as follows: there are in fact here 10 expressions referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, in fact, if you count them, there aren't. But the 10 expressions come from the parallel pasuk in Shmuel Beis. So for that you need to refer to the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, where there we have 10, it's actually a combination, both from the pasukim in Tehillim and the pasukim in Shmuel Beis, so you end up with 10 expressions. Excuse me, there are 10 expressions referring, 10 expressions here of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they are Chizki, which is the last word, in Shmuel Beis, it starts with Vayomar, Hipposit Beis. Yeah. We're going to look at the differences between Shmuel Beis and Tehillim in a minute. But in Shmuel Beis, it's chapter Kaf Beis, Pasuk Beis. And it's also going to be Pasuk Gimel. While here in Tehillim, we're on chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Gimel. Now, the 10 expressions are Chizki, which you'll find as the last word of Tehillim, chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Beis. We had that last week, Vayomar Erchomcha Hashem Chizki. Chizki, he is my strength. Then we have Sali, is number 2. Umetzadosi is number 3. Umefalti is number 4. Keli is number 5, Tsuri is number 6, Mogini is number 7, the Keren Yishi is number 8, Misgabi is number 9, and that is the last word in our Pasuk in Tehillim. And for expression number 10, we need to refer to the parallel Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Beis, and we're now on Pasuk Gimel there, which says there, Umenusi. Miskabi Umenusi, he's got it here. Umenusi. The parallel Pasuk, Shmuel Beis, Shatzer Kaf Beis, Pasuk Gimel, where you've got there, after Miskabi, which is the last, the word Miskabi is the last word in our Pasuk and Tehillim, after that you get the word Umenusi, which means the place of my refuge. So those two sections together, combined, the two sections together give you 10 expressions. Interesting, because it misses out Moshi'i. Moshi'i, let me just check this in a second. Yeah, it misses out Moshi'i. Yeah, it's a bit strange that it misses out Moshi'i, which is there in Shmuel Beis, my saviour. So I'm not quite sure why. The Medrash says 10 expressions. All the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's actually a combination. The word Chizki, yeah, you need to combine them both. The word Chizki is not in Shmuel Beis, because that entire Pasuk, Vayomar Erchom Hashem Chizki, is not in Shmuel Beis. It's only in Tehillim, and we mentioned that last week. And the word Umenusi is not in Tehillim, it's only in Shmuel Beis. So between the two, the Medrash Shechetev gives us a list of 10. Why 10? Because David had 10 specific enemies. Now, who these 10 enemies are is itself a bit of a machlokas. The Yalkut Me'amos brings one list, but we'll take the list from the Medrash Shechetev and also from the Medrash Yalkut HaMachiri. And the 10 enemies are Shaul, Doeg, Achisofel, Sheva ben Bichri, Shimi ben Gera, Shovach, Goliath, and then the three brothers of Goliath. That's a list of 10 enemies altogether. Now, just a word about some of these.
There's 10.
Pardon?
There's 10, isn't there?
There are 10.
Always 10.
Yes.
It's interesting, number 10.
No, I'm just saying this is the case, but always 10 is a common number.
Is that right?
The Ten Commandments, yeah. And all this, you know.
Yeah.
The Ten Principles.
Someone's...
13 Haman's sons. Interesting. Haman had other sons. The Medrash says that Haman had 208 sons. I think so. Or maybe is that 208 or 202? Based on the Rove, it's Rove Bonov. Rove Bonov, and the word Rove is Gematria 208. If you spell it with a Vav, I think in the Megillah it's spelled with a Vav, So it's 208.
Only 10 were hung out of 280.
Yeah, no, the others also got killed in the war. In the war. But those 10 were publicly hanged. Yeah. Okay. All right. So here we have 10 enemies. Now, these 10 enemies are very significant. Shaul Doeg, of course, was the one who gave David's whereabouts to, when he was in, protected by Nov, Ir HaKonim. He spilt that to, he told that to Shaul, and Shaul wiped out the city of Nov. It was a terrible, terrible incident. Achisophel, who sided with Avshalom and advised Avshalom to go and attack David there and then. Sheva ben Bichri, interesting case. Sheva ben Bichri is recorded, it's in Shmuel Beis, chapter Chof, where, let me give this to you. Shmuel Beis. It's the beginning of, right at the beginning of chapter Chof. Oh gosh, well, now I forget, no wonder. Again, Shmuel Beis. Yeah, here it is. Shmuel Beis Shatzchav. The Shom Nikra Ishbili Ya'al is described as an evil man. The Shmo Sheva Ben Bichri Ishimini came from the tribe of Binyamin. And of course the tribe of Binyamin was the tribe of Shaul, and so Sheva Ben Bichri is considered almost an automatic enemy of David. We have no portion in David. He like threw off the yoke of David. What's the word? A traitor to David. Fellow Nachalalonu b'van Yishai, we have no inheritance in this son of Yishai. Ishla olav Yisrael, everybody go back to their own tent. Don't follow David. We're not interested in him. Well, he came to a sticky end. He was actually it didn't take long in this chapter. He's actually killed. They demanded David's army demanded that he should be handed over. Yoav, who's the nephew of David and David's general, chased Sheva ben Bichri, Yoav ben Tzuriah. Tzuriah was the sister of David. Yoav ben Tzuriah chased Sheva ben Bichri, and he went into hiding. And Yoav said, "We'll invade your entire town." And he told the people who were hiding Sheva ben Bichri, "Either give him over, or we'll wipe out the whole lot of you." And they killed Sheva ben Bichri and delivered his head to Yoav. So that's one of the enemies of David. Shimi ben Gera was, of course, the one who cursed David with this klala nimretzes. When David was running it out of Yerushalayim on the run from Avshalom, Shimi ben Gera, who also was from the tribe of Binyamin and therefore also held the Shaul was the rightful king, he cursed David horrendously, and at the end of David's life, he commanded his son Shlomo to deal with Shimi ben Gera, which he then did. And Shovach, another enemy named here, Shovach came from Aram, and he was the general of the Aramean army from Aram, who waged war against David. And again, David had him killed, got him killed. There's Goliath, famously. He was the king of Eretz Yisrael, that was national wars. We've never been the most loved of nations, have we? Yeah.
A lot of these were Jewish people, wasn't it?
Oh, very good. Oh, you'll see. Yeah. Very good. Oh, you must have into what the Medrash says. Yeah, very good. Oh. So we're just on the last one. So we've got Goliath and the three brothers of Goliath, whose names are all recorded just before Shiras David. You'll find them in Shmuel Beis, chapter Kaf Aleph, Posuk Kaf Beis, where it says, Esaba'as Eile Yuldu Lahorotha Begas. These four, there are four giants who were born to a lady called Horotha.
She was the granddaughter of Ruth's Orpah.
No, I think she was the same one as Orpah. I think she was the same. Horotha, I think the Medrash says, is the same person as Orpah.
It sounds the same, doesn't it?
Yeah, very similar. Horotha and Orpah. So hey, it's written with a hey in Shmuel Beis with an ayin in Megillas Ris. Same person. And she was the mother of Goliath.
How does it work in time? Ruth was
That's not. I don't think that's a problem, because the story of Rus is set by Yibimei Shifot HaShoftim. It was in the days of the Shoftim.
It would be 200 or 300 years. It's a 400-year period.
Well, Boaz is recorded as the same Ivtson, yes. Now, I don't know. I can't remember exactly when he was in the order of all the judges. When was Ivtson?
The beginning of the period. Some say it was at the end.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, so
some say that Boaz was very old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some say he didn't die on the wedding night. He lived 100 years afterwards.
Uh-huh. Okay, but I'm talking about the age gap between David and Goliath. First of all, this teaches us that David and Goliath were cousins. Not first cousins. Yeah, for sure. Because don't forget, if we take it from Megillas Rus, right? How many generations are there from Rus down to David? Here, Megillas Esther.
At the end of the.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. End of Megillas Rus. Let me get this right. So it'll be. I think it's. I can't remember all the names. Yeah, Shir, sits after this. Here, Rus, right, here. Right at the end of Megillas Rus, we have Boaz. Right, so Boaz holedes Oved, so the son of Rus is Oved. Oved had Yishai, so the grandson of Rus is Yishai, and David is the son of Yishai. David is the great granddaughter.
Great grandson.
Thank you. David is the great grandson of Rus. Right. And Rus's sister-in-law was Orpah. Rus and Orpah were both daughters-in-law of Naomi, and they were sisters, as far, yes. I believe they were sisters, yeah. Two brothers marrying two sisters, Machlon and Kilian marrying two sisters. So that makes, so if David is a great granddaughter of Rus, and Goliath is a son of Orpah, so they are first cousins, something like three times removed, or four times removed. Right? Yeah? How many cousins of yours have you murdered?
Yeah? Much older than David.
Okay. Now, let's come back to what you were saying, Johnny. Some of these enemies are Yidden. Now, of these 10 enemies, 5 are Yidden and 5 are non-Jewish. The Jewish ones are Shaul, Doeg, Achisophel, Sheva ben Bichri, and Shimi ben Gera. And the non-Jewish ones are Shovach, Goliath, and the three brothers of Goliath. Okay, so it's 5 and 5. Now these 10 expressions we have in our posuk or pasukim as culled between Shmuel Beis and Tehillim. These 10 expressions are connected. These 10 enemies that David had, and he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "You see, you saved me on each of these 10 occasions." Yes, these 10 enemies. These 10 enemies, and based on that, Rabbi Yehuda in the Medrash Shechatov, Rabbi Yehuda goes on to say that how does Tehillim finish? The end of Tehillim, and Yitzhak Hashem will all get there together, the end of Tehillim finishes with 5 chapters of Halalukah, which we say in Pesukei Zimra every morning. And each one of those chapters begins with the word Halalukah and ends with Halalukah. 10 expressions of Halalukah, again, corresponding to these 10 enemies of David.
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh,
everything has a purpose. Shows you the Tehillim, or the Hallelujahs. I mean,
Correct. The Medrash Shechetov goes on to say, in our pasuk we've got the Keren Yishi. David describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Keren Yishi, the horn of my salvation. What is that about? Well, this horn, the horn that we're talking about here, is a reference to the horn which contained oil that Shmuel used to anoint David. Now, oil nowadays is contained in bottles, but in those days they would take the horn of an animal and they would fashion a bottle out of a horn of an animal. So you put a stopper in the small end, which is the top end of the horn, yeah? Put some kind of stopper, a bung in there to stop any oil escaping, and then you can fill it with oil or any other liquid, and then you can pour the oil out of the top end. Sorry, not the top end, it's actually the bottom end, the end, the wider end, which is the bit that's adjoined to the animal's head, okay? So when Shmuel went to anoint David, he took a keren, a horn, with which to anoint David. And he came to David's family, Yishai's family, and he wants to, and he didn't know which of the sons of Yishai he's meant to anoint. And David, being the youngest one, was the last one on his mind. In fact, he wasn't even there. He was out tending to the sheep in the fields. And when Shmuel tried to anoint each of the sons of David, of Yishai, the oil flowed in the wrong direction. So he's trying to pour the oil out of the top, out of the wide end of the horn, and the oil flowed back in the opposite direction and wouldn't come out. Then eventually Shmuel says to Yishai, do you have any other children? And says, I've got one more son, he's out tending the sheep. So David came in, and when he was about to anoint David, the oil bubbled in the horn and came out of its own accord. All b'derech neis. And that was a divine simon to Shmuel, and indeed this is the one that it was anointed. So in our passage we have this, the keren yishi, it's the horn that was used to anoint
me.
Yeah, by Shmuel, absolutely, by Shmuel, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I can't remember.
Each one was in the work, the oil, until David came in.
And yeah, that's right. Yeah, the oil flowed in the wrong direction and wouldn't come out.
From Hashem, you are the true king.
Absolutely.
David.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. The Yalkut HaMochiri gives a beautiful medrash here, which I have to read out to you. The Yalkut HaMochiri says that at the time of Akedas Yitzchok, what happened at the time of Akedas Yitzchok? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, at the time of Akedas Yitzchok, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Asidin bonov shel Yitzchok lachte lefonai. In the future, the children of Yitzchok will sin against me. Va'ani don osam b'Rosh Hashanah. I will judge them on Rosh Hashanah. Ve'im mevakshim she'achapes lochem zechus. And if they want that I should find a zechus for them, you know what I'll do? Ve'ezkar lohem akedas Yitzchok. I'll remember this akedah of Yitzchok on their behalf, and the akedah of Yitzchok will serve as a zechus for Klal Yisrael. Yehu tukim lefonai b'shofar zeh. This is Hashem talking to Avram at the akedah. They should blow the shofar before me on Rosh Hashanah. Amaleis, Avram turned to HaKadosh Baruch and said, what's this? Umahu HaShofar, what is the shofar? I've never heard of it. What is a shofar? Amaleis, HaKadosh Baruch replied to Avram, Chazal Acharecha, turn round. So he did. Miad, he turned round. And what happened immediately? Vayisa Avram is enough. Avram raised his eyes. Vayaron, he saw the ayil achar ne'echaz basvach bekarnov. And he saw this ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And this ram was one of the 10 items that was created being Hashmoshes on the Friday of creation. The ram was created. That ram used at the Akedah, in the Mishnah and Pekia was described as the Elo Shel Yitzchok. It's the ram of Yitzchok. That was one of the 10 items created being Hashmoshes just before Hashem finished creating the world. And what happened? Ne'echaz basach bekarnov. It was caught in the thicket by its horns. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to Avram, you know what you should do? Yehu tokin lefonai bekeren shofar. Let them blow with the horn by the bekeren shofar ayil. Let them blow the ram's horn. Ve'oshie mi'avonoseihem, and I will save them from their sins. Vehu she David meshabeach, and this is what David was referring to, and he praised Hashem, and he said, Mogini, you're my shield, because you're protecting us from our aviris. How? Vekeren yishi, because we blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's how you save us from our aviris. So, we blow the shofar, we do the shofar, Hashem remembers Akedas Yitzchok, it serves as a chus for us, and so he forgives us from our aviris. What is so interesting is that we're using this pasuk to talk about shofar, and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is at great pains to point out that the shofar does not count as a keren. Do you remember that Gemara? I'm sure you did it. We lent it with Rabbi Cohen. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where the shofar is not a keren. A keren is a horn on another animal, but it's not a shofar. It's like the horn of a cow. Yeah. It's described as a keren, but not the horn of a ram. Yeah.
So keren is not a shofar.
A keren halachically does not count as a shofar. Yeah, yet the medrash.
Halachically, you can only use the ram's horn.
Correct. Or a goat. Or you could use a goat. Yeah. The Yalkut HaMachiri brings this medrash that the keren yishi is a reference to our blowing of the shofar, even though it uses the word the keren. And that's interesting. Okay.
That explains them. If on the one hand we're told that Hashem says the horn of the ayil is different from the ikeda that you blow, but on Yontav we don't blow, we blow from cattle.
No, we don't. No. On Yontav, on Rosh Hashanah, no, we don't. No. We blow from a ram or a goat. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, I should have written down the blood. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that we cannot blow from a keren. A horn that is halachically defined as a keren, that kind of horn cannot be used on Rosh Hashanah for shofar blowing. Yeah? Because it doesn't count as a shofar, but yet
it's not a ram or a goat's horn.
The horn of a bull is called a keren. That's how the Gemara is. The keren ei re'im karenov.
Yeah,
that's a bracha.
Referring to a keren. What keren is it referring to?
So Pashup Shat is it's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping David in times of war, and the word Keren implies aggression. But this Medrash, that's Pashup Shat and Pasuk, but this Medrash, Yalkut HaMachiri, relates it to the shofar as in the ram at the time of the Akedah, and when Hashem says to Klai, so when you blow the shofar, I'll remember the Akedah Yitzchok, and with that I'll forgive Klal Yisrael of their Averus. And it's odd, it's slightly odd, because we learn it from this passage, and that's what David was saying when he said the Keren Yishi. Hashem is the horn of my salvation, because he saves us from our Averus. So it's a bit of a kasha, because it uses the word the Keren and not uses the word the Keren, and yet the Keren is the one type of horn that cannot actually halachically count as a shofar.
Strange.
I'm just mentioning that as a small kasha on that medrash. It's not the world's biggest kasha.
Yeah, why not use the expression of a horn that we use in Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah.
More natural.
Yeah. Why does the medrash learn it from this pasuk with keren yishi when it uses the word the keren, and the word keren surely cannot refer to a shofar, because it's the one kind of horn that in fact is not usable, not halachic acceptable, thank you, as a shofar, exactly.
Where does kasha come from?
I'm saying this is a small kasha. How could from little Gershon Hepner? It's just a little kasha. It's not a big kasha. It's a small kasha. It's a small kasha on that medrash. Don't worry. It's a small kasha on the medrash. Yeah? Small kasha on the medrash. That how can we darshan this pasuk, the keren yishi, as referring to the shofar on the ayil? Yeah? No, because the Gemara says that the shofar on an ayil, I'm sorry, that a keren, which we can translate keren as horn, is specifically a cow or a bull's horn, which is not usable on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Good, okay. One other medrash, which I have here from this Likut of Medrashim. Yeah. At the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, this is brought from the Psikta Zutrasa in Shemos Yudalad Kaf. he says that at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, what happened the night before Kriyas Yamsuf, the Kodesh Baruch Hu moved his cloud from in front of Klal Yisrael to where the Egyptians were, and thereby darkened the Egyptian camp. Klal Yisrael had light that night, and the Egyptians had darkness that night. And the Egyptians spent that night firing missiles, thank you, yeah, at Klal Yisrael. The Medrash says, Yisrael, the Pasuk says, by Yo'er Es HaLoyla, it's in Shemos chapter Yudan, the Pasuk Kaf, by Yo'er Es HaLoyla, Hashem lit up the night for Klal Yisrael. It says the Medrash, Yisrael, Ba'ura, Klal Yisrael had light, to Mitzrayim, Ba'afel, and the Egyptians had darkness. For Ro'en Es Yisrael, Shehu Yibora, but the Egyptians could see the Yidden, because the Yidden were illuminated. And what could they see? The Ochlin, the Shosim, or Sameichim. They saw the Yidden eating and drinking and celebrating.
V'hoyu HaMitzriyim. The night before Kriyas Yamsuf.
The night before, absolutely. V'hoyu HaMitzriyim Mezorkin Bohem Chitzim V'avnei Bliss Toraos. And the Egyptians hurled Chitzim, arrows, Avnei Bliss Toraos, so that probably sound like cannonballs, to against the Yidden. Catapulting things. V'hamalach v'he'onon mekablim noson. And the malach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a malach and the cloud to absorb those missiles. And if I'm not mistaken, they even hurled them back at the Egyptians. Shenema, and we bring a pasuk, Shenema, Mogini v'kerinishi misgabi, our pasuk. Hashem is our shield, he's my shield, and he's the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. The Omer and the Pasuk also says later on in our chapter Mogen Hu L'chol HaChosim Bo. Later on in our chapter Yud Ches Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Pasuk says Mogen Hu Hashem is a shield L'chol HaChosim to all those who take refuge in Him or take trust in Him. So that's what He did. Mogini, He was our shield. He shielded us from the missiles of the Egyptians on that night before Kriyas Yamsuf. Good.
So when they fired the missiles, it hit a barrier.
Yeah, yeah. The barrier was a malach and the cloud. Absolutely, that's right. Okay, right. Shall we leave it there, or do you want to carry on? I mean, okay. Shall we leave it there? We'll leave it there. We've got a few more things to finish off on this pasuk, and then finish it. Next Sunday. Yeah, Mir Hashem. Yeah.
Thank you.